Let's read together John chapter 19, verses 1 through 16. In this first section of John 19, we have the continuation of the civil trial of the Lord Jesus. Here we learn of Pilate's terrible decision to deliver Jesus over to be crucified. John chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went out again into the praetorium, and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. Let's consider some background notes, first of all. In verse 1, we read that Pilate, the Roman procurator, took Jesus and scourged him. Now, a Roman flogging was carried out by means of leather whips with pieces of metal or bone embedded in the ends of the leather thongs. Men were known to have died after being scourged. Jewish beatings were limited to 39 stripes, but not Roman floggings. Pilate hoped to appease the Jews by having Jesus scourged, and then he planned to release him. But the Jews wanted no compromise. They wanted Christ crucified. In verses 2 and 3, we read that the Roman soldiers made fun of Christ as the King of the Jews. They were not only mocking him personally, but showing their contempt for the Jews in general. Little did they realize that when they placed the crown of thorns on our Lord's head, it was symbolic of our Lord taking upon himself the curse for sin. Thorns symbolized the curse. Our Lord wore a crown of thorns so that we might wear a crown of glory. In verse 13, we read that this trial took place at the pavement, or Gabbatha. This may have been part of the fortress of Antonia at the northwest corner of the temple complex, and that pavement can be seen today. In fact, inscribed on this pavement is a Roman game called the Game of the King. The soldiers may have been playing this game as they mocked the Lord as King of the Jews, and as they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Twice we see that Pilate declared Christ as innocent. Verse 4, "I find no fault in him." And verse 6, "I find no fault in him." When the Jews saw that they could not get the Lord crucified for being a threat to Rome, they reverted to the religious charge of verse 7. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. We read in verse 8 that this statement made Pilate more afraid. Why? Maybe because he was troubled about Jesus' true nature. Remember that Pilate's wife had had a dream about Jesus, and she had warned her husband not to have anything to do with this righteous man. I'm reading Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19. While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." As a result, Pilate wanted to release Jesus. But Pilate capitulated to the pressure of the Jews in verse 12 when they cried out, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." Pilate could not handle this political threat. He knew that if the emperor Tiberius heard that he could not handle the Jews, that he would be removed from power. And so Pilate delivered Jesus over to be crucified. Now, just one more background note. In verse 11, the Lord said to Pilate, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Who is the Lord referring to here? Most likely Caiaphas, the Jewish high priest who delivered Jesus over to Pilate. His sin was greater because, as the Jewish high priest, he knew the messianic predictions in the Hebrew Scriptures, but still refused to recognize the possibility that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus had claimed to be the Messiah and backed up those claims with his miraculous works. But Caiaphas, the nation's high priest and leader, refused to acknowledge and recognize the possibility that Jesus was the Messiah. And the rest of the religious leaders followed him. Well, so much for background notes. Now let's move to our doctrinal points for this first section of John 19. Doctrinal point number one. Pilate did not realize the profound truth of his statement, "Behold the man." Pilate did not realize the profound truth of his statement, "Behold the man." Verse 5, once again. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." In the old city of Jerusalem today, there is an arch called the Ecce Homo Arch, meaning "Behold the man" in Latin. This arch is located where the fortress of Antonia stood and supposedly marks the spot where Pilate made this statement. We can't be sure that that's the real site or not. But we can be sure that Pilate did not realize the profound truth of his statement, "Behold the man." Pilate probably made this statement with sarcasm and contempt toward Jesus as well as toward the Jews. Little did Pilate realize that a profound truth was expressed in that statement, "Behold the man." Here was the man amongst men. Here was the perfect man. The only perfect human being ever in history. The Jews accused Jesus of being a mere man claiming to be God. The truth was that Jesus was the eternal Son of God who had become man, the perfect man. He never ceased to be God, but he became man in order to die. The penalty of sin was death. The Redeemer had to be human in order to die. But he had to be the perfect human in order to pay the penalty for sin. Jesus was the perfect man. Pilate did not realize the profound truth of his statement, "Behold the man." Have you realized the profound truth of that statement, "Behold the man"? Have you accepted Christ as the Son of God who became man to die for your sins? Have you beheld the man? Doctrinal point number two. Pilate did not realize the profound truth of his statement, "Behold your king." Pilate did not realize the profound truth of his statement, "Behold your king." Verse 14. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, Behold your king. Again, Pilate probably made this statement with sarcasm and contempt toward Jesus, and especially toward the Jews. Remember, the Lord would have been standing there with a crown of thorns on his head and the purple robe on his bleeding body. Pilate certainly would not have seen Jesus as a threat to Rome. But Pilate did not realize the profound truth of his statement, "Behold your king." Standing before him was not only the true king of the Jews, but the king of kings, the king of the universe. And one day, Pilate will be forced to recognize that fact and bow his knee to Christ. And those who cried out, "Crucify him, we have no king but Caesar," they too will bow the knee and recognize Christ as the king. Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11 says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have you realized the truth of that statement? Behold your king. Is Christ your king? Have you yet bowed your knee to Christ as king? Well, so much for our doctrinal points from this portion of John 19. Now, what about some practical application? Don't play politics with the truth. Don't play politics with the truth. Pilate knew the truth that Jesus was innocent. He emphatically declared, "I find no fault in him." But Pilate played politics with the truth. No wonder we read in verse 19 that Jesus gave him no answer. The Lord does not answer those who compromise the truth for their own selfish reasons. Pilate lacked the moral courage to release an innocent man. And when the Jews cried out, there in verse 12, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar," Pilate capitulated to the political pressure and delivered Jesus up to be crucified. Pilate played politics with the truth. Do we play politics with the truth? Don't play politics with the truth. Recently, our president made a terrible decision because he played politics with the truth. He vetoed the bill that Congress had overwhelmingly passed to ban partial birth abortions. The president certainly knows the truth about this horrible procedure in which a baby is delivered all except for the last part of its head, and then it is killed before it can be fully delivered. The president certainly knows that all this talk about the health of the mother is not even a factor. He knows that this procedure is essentially infanticide. But the president played politics with the truth. His terrible decision was for votes. How awful. How unfortunate. How sad. Now, we might say that we would never play politics with the truth as the president did. Let's hope not. But what about the politics we might play in our church or our fellowship? Is some innocent person being hurt right now because you're playing politics with the truth? Don't play politics with the truth.